It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices. Hello everyone, welcome to Youth Voices on Planet FM 104.6. I'm your host, Tristan Pang. Hope everyone is doing well and is safe in their bubble so far during this coronavirus pandemic. And now that we've moved out of Level 4 lockdown here in New Zealand to Alert Level 3, things shouldn't have changed much for the majority of us when compared to Level 4. It's so great to see the massive collective effort to stop the spread of coronavirus and that together we are able to slowly move back towards our normal lives. Due to social distancing and since I don't have the equipment to make phone interviews from home, I'm unable to have a feature guest today. But luckily, my friend Lee Teen Wong, who has been featured on my show previously, sent in a clip sharing something about his life and his schoolwork in lockdown. So here we go, Year 13 Onehunga High School student Lee.
Hey Tristan, I remember a few weeks ago my school live streamed Jacinda's news briefing, and that's how we found out that schools were closing down. It was kind of funny because you could hear all the other classes cheering. It was surreal, actually. Honestly, I was pretty happy at the start of the lockdown because I was really behind on a ton of assessments, and instead of 2 weeks left to finish them, I had a whole month. So thank God for that. But otherwise, just like everyone else, the last 6 weeks have been rather uneventful and, you know, kind of boring. Though I did start volunteering for Meals and Meals last week, and it was really nice to finally get out and see some people. And it kind of felt cool being an essential worker for a day. So yeah, hope everyone's staying safe, and back to you, Tristan.
That's so awesome. Thanks, Lee, for sharing that with us. I will definitely have to catch up with you when there is no more social distancing restrictions. But moving on, today I'll be talking about something current and interesting. In the first part of the show, I'll talk about learning or working from home. And in the second part, I will talk about possible gains from such a crisis. So let's first talk about our remote learning and working. The current pandemic has put a huge strain on our current education system, but people are now starting to realise the importance of learning independently. So remote learning and working requires self-discipline, determination, goal-setting and time management. Although learning from home seems novel for some, it actually comes naturally to me. In fact, it was a key feature of my whole childhood. I'll share with you some of that later when I have an opportunity. So one of the first things to talk about is routine. The most crucial thing about learning or working from home is to set up a routine for working and learning at home. For many people, home is a place for relaxing, but now we have to change that mindset as home is also a workplace. For me, I get up at the same time as before. I then write down what I'm going to achieve for the day, then have breakfast, shower, and get dressed to start my day as normal. It is very important for myself to keep clean and neat, and I'm not saying wearing socks and shoes or dressing as good as going outside, but at least not be in pajamas all day, but to have a fresh and decent set of clothes for the new day. This prepares me to begin work physically and mentally, and lines have to be drawn very clearly about the differences between working and relaxing. Although we can treat things much more flexibly in this pandemic, we still need to clearly define the working day. I divide my day mainly into three sessions for Monday to Thursday. In the morning, it's my time for uni courses. Afternoon is Oxford's preparation. Oh, actually, I haven't told you about this already. I'm going to Oxford to further my graduate studies later this year, and I will probably tell you more about this when there's a chance to. But anyways, the third session for me is in the evening. It's time for me to do self-improvement, so doing things like exploring different subjects. I also set aside some time to do physical exercise every day, either at home or going out for a walk. Then on Fridays, something different happens. It's mostly Zoom time for me. So it's for my work as a teaching assistant for a university maths class, a host for my number theory reading group, and to attend other meetings as well. And for weekends, it's not too much different from weekdays, but I will add some time for board game with my mum and also time for watching movies and TV in the evening with my parents. It's so unfortunate that I won't be able to do my favourite sports, swimming and tennis, during lockdown. But luckily, not long before the lockdown, I started doing something else. I started learning to cook, and I find myself enjoying it. So now I cook a couple of times a week and follow recipes I find on the internet. My favorite recipes are from Jamie Oliver since they are easy to follow and the success rate is quite high. So cooking is a time for me to relax and move my mind away from my work for a little while. So besides setting a routine, we also need to define a workspace. This is very important. So once I'm ready to start working in the mornings, I tell myself that my bedroom is no longer a bedroom, but it's my office for the next 10 hours. I have two tables, including one which is height adjustable, and this is very useful for me since I work very long hours on the computer and standing up while working is occasionally needed. What I'm doing is after lunch and dinner time, I'll adjust up the table to standing position for about an hour to 2 hours each day after each meal. And like most mass people, I am obsessed with whiteboards. And I guess in the old days that would have been blackboards, but I have a whiteboard in my room, and when I come across difficult problems, I'll write them down and will occasionally come back to those questions. And actually, I'm making some progress with it. So that's my setting for my office. So the last thing, something I want to add on, is taking breaks once in a while. Breaks for our eyes, small breaks, micro breaks, rest breaks, exercise breaks, whatever you want to call them, there's many types. But to be honest, this is something I need to improve on. I normally forget or actually sometimes don't even want to take breaks. But I have an electric keyboard in my room, and this is one way I take a break. When I'm stuck on my work, I'll go and play a few music pieces, and then my mind becomes fresh again. And then I will go back to do some work. Sometimes when I play some very familiar music which doesn't need much effort, I'll sometimes find myself quietly thinking through a research problem. And it means that if I occasionally move away from my desk, it really helps with my thinking from another angle. Also, moving physically around to play music also means I'm changing my position and using different muscles to relax my back, neck, and eyes besides my mind. So although I'm not very good at taking breaks, I know we can use the Outlook or other tools to set an alarm to remind us to take breaks. There are also a number of useful apps which we can load onto our phone, so I guess I'll look at those soon. And now for the second part of the show, I want to talk about kind of what opportunities can come up from such a crisis. So my parents told me that in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. The first one means danger, and then the second one means opportunity. It also means when there's darkness, there's light. It echoes the popular saying, when one door closes, another opens. But Alexander Graham Bell keeps on saying, we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one that is open for us. Our world has changed immensely in the last few months. It's normal that we focus on the negative sides of coronavirus, but amid the distress, there are reasons to believe we can emerge from the crisis with some human qualities and chance. A few years ago, creativity expert Michael Michalko came up with an idea to sharpen creativity. He called it assumption reversal. So suppose you are thinking of starting a restaurant. The first assumption might be that restaurants have menus. The reversal would be restaurants have no menus. This provokes the idea of maybe a chef informing each customer what he brought that day at the market, allowing them to select a customized dish. The point here is not that this will turn out to be a workable scheme, but that by disrupting conventional thought processes, it might lead to new ideas. And here's another very good example. Suppose you are opening a taxi company. The first assumption might be taxi companies own cars. The reversal will be taxi companies own no cars. 20 years ago, that might sound crazy, but today, the largest taxi company that has ever existed doesn't own cars, which is Uber. And now COVID-19 has turned our lives upside down. We all hope to return to some version of normality, but it is probable that something will never be the same again. But amid the darkness, there are opportunities. Reversal techniques can be used here, so innovations inspired by this pandemic could be something like this. Take education as an example. Schools have traditionally been agreed as a place for children to go and impart knowledge. So how about the reversal? Imparting knowledge doesn't need to be at school. We are indeed using all sorts of remote learning tools such as Zoom, TV education programs, all to keep social distancing as well as to keep up learning. Also, traditionally, education is about teaching knowledge. What about the reversal? Education is not about teaching knowledge. The lockdown has showed that this is indeed possible. People are starting to find learning from home a workable solution, and indeed, children can actually grasp the knowledge more independently by themselves through online means. So this provokes the ideas for schools to teach children, to develop skills that are not drawn for traditional disciplines. So softer skills, skills that are important in the real world, but which teachers struggle to find time to teach because of the demands of the curriculum, such as things like time management, goal setting, and communication skills. In fact, this is something I've been advocating for the last 7 years. These are just some of the reversal ideas related to education. The point of the education example isn't to stop children from formal knowledge, but to find ways to supplement this with other skills. The core idea of it holds great value in going forward, and those are the positives that might emerge from such a pandemic crisis. It also pushes our educators to rethink and remodel our outdated education system. Luckily, we are in control of building the roads that we think are best for us. This brings us back to the meaning of crisis, danger and opportunity. Echoing this idea is a graduation address by my mentor, Andrew Patterson, who delivered it for the Faculty of Education of the University of Auckland a few years ago.
I want you to think of yourselves as disruptors, because my sense is that education in the next decade is about to be disrupted on a scale few people truly appreciate. This idea that we process students in batches through an industrial-style model is clearly outdated. And while we haven't quite worked out what to replace it with, I believe we are beginning to get a sense of what that change is going to involve. My story is about a remarkable 12-year-old student some of you may have heard of already. In fact, he featured in the New Zealand Herald just last week. I first met Tristan Pang last year when I was his speech coach for a TEDx youth event I helped organise. What makes Tristan truly exceptional is that despite being just 12, he has already passed Cambridge Year 13 maths, gaining 96% in his final exam. In fact, this year he's already studying Stage 1 mathematics at this university, and next year, can you believe it, he will be a full-time student. Prior to speaking at TED, he was perhaps your typical gifted child who would run a mile from being put on a stage to speak to an audience of 500-plus people. But with coaching and support I was able to provide for him, his awesome talent has now been truly unleashed. Following an approach from his parents to be his mentor, I've had the opportunity to work closely with Tristan, which I have to say has been quite a remarkable experience. Last year I organised for him to speak at a Decile 1 school in Glen Innes, where he'd been invited to deliver his TED talk in person. The reaction from the more than 200 students who attended surprised everyone. Not only were they in complete awe of his achievements, but the applause at the end of his talk went on for some minutes. One student even asked me if Tristan would consider becoming his new maths teacher, while others told me his talk had inspired them to try harder with their own learning. As a result of his visit, Tristan told me he wanted to do something to help the school, a challenge I encouraged him to pursue. He then proceeded to spend his entire Christmas holidays building a website he has called Tristan's Learning Hub. With no prior experience working with HTML or coding, he simply taught himself how to build the site, just as he's been teaching himself maths for the last 11 years. He bought all the necessary equipment and now writes and delivers his own maths lessons in a series of 5-minute videos, much like Sal Khan, but importantly, he doesn't differentiate between year levels. Today, Tristan is a confident speaker and an inspiring student who's able to share his talents and gifts with a wide audience.
Wow, that's really amazing. So, oh, look at the time. It's almost time to go. So thank you so much for listening. And if you want to get in contact with me, please do email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com or visit my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. That's QUEST-IS-FUN.org.nz/youthvoices. Thank you so much for listening and stay safe, everyone. See you next month. Bye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.